Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long, so let's get into the show.
Hi. Jackie Cation in a hotel room in Milwaukee. Darla Cation, welcome back to the program. You're on the Dork Forest. And I had a request asking me, because I guess when you were on, when you talked cooking 2 years ago, you said, well, you know, if this lockdown and pandemic is going to last a couple of months, we should all learn how to cook. And here we are 2 years later. And even in Milwaukee, there are some people wearing masks, though I've become a bit of a hobbyist. I don't have the conviction of my beliefs. And so if I'm the only one wearing a mask, I will sometimes take it off.
We just had lunch downtown, mm-hmm. Minneapolis, mm-hmm. Which is thriving despite reports to the contrary. And we now have a vaccine requirement.
Okay.
And so, of course, you know, the doomsayers were going to suggest that nobody was ever going to eat in a restaurant again.
Right, because and people honestly, didn't want to show that their vaccines were, yeah.
Right, because it's HIPAA. Yeah. And it's a good thing we had a reservation, is what I mean. Places had. Turns out people enjoy eating out.
So. People love eating out, and people love to safely eat out with other people who have chosen to take part in medicine. So,
that's right.
And science. Yeah, good for them. So I'm just here for just in between two gigs, and then I go home, and then I go to St. Louis. So I'm are you going to come and see me in Madison this weekend, probably?
I am indeed, but you remind me to make a hotel.
Okay, make a note.
Because they do enjoy a reservation.
Yeah, they do. And so, good to see you. Now we're just chatting, but welcome to the Dork Forest. I told you to pick like 5 recipes, 3 that were kind of easy and 2 that you love that are fiddly. And what do you want to talk? Which ones do you want to talk about? What did your family say?
Everything is fiddly.
Oh, so, everything is fiddly. Interesting.
Yes. So here's what I thought I'd do. Talk about a couple of simple things mm-hmm. that people mm-hmm. even and everyone can reach out to me on social media, only sure. on Twitter, because I don't do the
rest of it.
Machine.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And it's at Darla Cation, or is it at Bossy Cation?
Yeah. At Bossy Cation.
At Bossy Cation.
Yeah. So if you want actual recipes, just reach out to me for them. But here's the idea. These are simple enough to not require it. Right?
Oh, that is amazing. Yes.
So what do you do as I am here in my home office, mm-hmm, still mm-hmm. toiling away from home? We thought this was all going to end.
Right.
It will someday.
One day.
But what do you do when 5 o'clock rolls around and hungry people want dinner on the table in less than half an hour? Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of go-tos that I have that are quick and easy. And so the number one thing I will say is when you walk in the door, put a pot of water to boil. Because
just start,
you are likely to just start a big pot of water to boil, because you're likely to be boiling some pasta, some rice, some potatoes, some veggies.
Oh, interesting.
Might be boiled. And a watched pot never boils. And so get it going.
And then think about what you're going to make.
Well, and have a plan. So it's funny, Jackie, because I needed to grocery shop this weekend.
Okay.
And I said to the lovely domestic associate, Nancy Cation used to grocery shop once a week.
Once a week.
And she got the same thing every week. And there was no in between, right?
Right. Because she wasn't dashing off to the, she never did dash off to the market, did she?
No, there wasn't like a baguette from the French bakery. There wasn't a stop at the meat shop, right?
Right, right.
So
there would
I was
beep
thinking about
if she
that.
Drove up the driveway. She would just beep her horn a bunch. And then we all had to take our feet off the furniture and wash the dishes
right,
in the sink and then walk outside and help her bring groceries in.
Come out and grab a bag of groceries. So most people, I don't know, maybe if you have 8 or 9 kids, you're shopping like that. But it did remind me in preparation for this that I don't always plan very well, right?
Okay, yeah.
So again, think about it in the morning. Pull out a package of boneless chicken thighs. Now, all you people eating breasts, I think we've talked about it before. They're terrible. Don't eat
right.
them.
The boneless, skinless chicken breasts are the work of the devil. But because you have to add so much chicken thighs, actually at least have some potential. But you still have to do the thing that the bone and the skin would do, which was add flavor.
Right. So here's a couple of simple things you can do. So one thing that I love are, I love the boneless thigh because you can make it into a bunch of different things. So here's a favorite of mine, homemade chicken nuggets. We call it chicken and crumbs. It's boneless chicken thighs. Have a box of breadcrumbs in the house. Panko, preferably.
Oh, Japanese. Just a box, like you're not making your own breadcrumbs.
No, because I'm not, I'm not
right, you have a job.
A child.
Right, right. You have a job.
Correct.
Yes. So that they just sell it by the box.
Keep a box of, they do. So Panko, Kiko Man makes some.
Okay.
They could sponsor you. so have some breadcrumbs. So it's super easy, right? 3 steps, right? If you have the boiling water on, right?
Yep.
Here's what you do. And then like some kind of seasoned salt, right? Like anything. Like the other day I made it with pizza seasoning.
Okay.
Right? Like dried herbs that were
rosemary, that are packaged,
thyme, basil.
Yeah, ooh. They're packaged as a thing. Like there's Italian.
Right.
Or there's like a Cajun or whatever.
Correct. Whatever trips your boat, go for it. So simple 3 steps. Flour. Dredge them in flour.
Okay.
Dredge it in a egg wash. So just a scrambled egg, right?
Okay.
Like, take the egg, mix it up, whip it up. You can throw a little water in it if you want. And then roll it in the breadcrumbs. Throw it on a pan. Takes about 20 minutes to bake. And you have homemade chicken nuggets. They're healthier.
We're going to have to unpack this. So what you've done is you have frozen chicken thighs, right? So
You've defrosted them.
You've come up to room temperature, let us assume, maybe?
Yeah, or in the fridge.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Or do you pat them dry, like they say?
Yeah, you can. But don't get too crazy.
Right. Well,
stop the end of the world if you don't.
But here's my real question is, when you put them in the flour, have you done anything to them?
Not a thing.
Not even salt.
You have preheated the oven. You have preheated the oven to 400 degrees.
Okay. So there's, flour. And then once it's dry, flour is on it, you put it in eggs?
I know. It sounds funny, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds
but
gross.
It works really well.
You put it in the panko and make sure it's all covered up. And have you cut it into nuggets yet? It's just a chicken thigh?
You could. Again, it's just, they're small.
Right.
I mean, they're a little, chickens aren't big and the thighs are not robust.
Right, right. It's not huge. It's not hugely big. Wow, I'm having some lighting
power
issues
there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Okay. And so then you just bake it in a 400 degree oven or whatever for until they're done. Yeah. 20 minutes or so.
25 minutes. You know, if you're a person who cares about the temperature, it should be about 165, right?
Right, right.
So they should be cooked all the way through. Now, here's the cool thing about it, right? So now you have homemade chicken nuggets, super quick.
Yeah.
And you can drop your veg. Like, we eat a lot of broccoli in our house.
Okay.
So just some steamed broccoli. I don't actually steam it. I just boil it.
Oh, because you have boiling water.
Because now you have boiling water. It's in the oven. You're ready to go. You can. Mm-hmm. Do you want to make some rice? Here's the secret rice recipe.
Okay.
You can make rice just like you make pasta. There's no magic to rice. Get a
cup of rice.
Strainer. Yeah. Cup of rice in 2 cups of boiling water. Boil it until the rice is done. I don't know, 7-8 minutes. Pour it in a mesh strainer. Not one that's got big holes in it.
Right, right. Right.
It's
got to be a fine and a strainer.
Go away, because now you're throwing it away.
don't throw away your rice, you guys. But you're not.
Now
like
you have rice.
So if you have 8 cups of water boiling, because that you put on.
I might take 2 off for rice.
Okay, you take 2. Maybe you take 2 out. Put it on another heater in another pan.
Yep.
And it's already mostly boiling. And then you add your cup of rice. And then you cover it.
Yep.
And you cook that for 10 minutes and it's done.
But you're not looking to make like pilaf style rice that's like fluffy. You're just cooking rice. So let's say you pull those 2 cups of water off. You could even throw a bouillon cube in if you wanted.
Right,
I know,
with those 2 cups. But it's salty. People like it.
Yeah, people enjoy it, right? But now you have some rice to go on the side, right?
Right.
And you've got some veg.
Yep.
Easy peasy, right? Okay, now, the millions of people who are going to reach out and say, but Jackie, I don't eat chicken.
Oh.
I'm a vegetarian. Hey, guess what? You know what's awesome? Tofu nuggets. You do exactly the same thing.
Oh, what do you use? Do you use a medium strength tofu? Because
I like a firm tofu myself.
Yeah, just because they hold together a little bit better. I mean, you have to kind of work with tofu a lot. But if you do, you know exactly the kind of tofu you
then
like.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's check this out. So you asked about seasoning the chicken before you do this.
Yeah.
Right? Chicken's got a lot of fat. It's going to pick up the flavor from the crumbs and that sort of thing. Tofu is a blank canvas, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to want to season that tofu before you run it through the flour, run it through the egg wash, mm-hmm. run it through the panko. I like to use a 5-spice powder, which is kind of a Chinese spice powder. Super tasty and delicious.
Yep.
Again, easy peasy. But guess what? You don't even have to bake it for 20 minutes, right? You're just going to bake it
tofu.
Until the breadcrumbs are crispy.
Yeah.
Correct. Let's say you go to the grocery store and because of the problem with supply chain, there's no chicken thighs.
Right.
Well, they have super thin pork chops, right?
Oh yeah. Not, but
no
bone.
You can do this with pork chops.
Yeah. You could do it with pork chops.
Yep.
Can you do it with beef?
You know, I never have, but I don't suppose there's no reason why you couldn't, but here's the other thing. Don't you have like a fish company that sponsors you?
Right. Jackie and Lori show. Yes. Wild Alaskan.
Yeah. So and I've done it with cod and halibut as well.
Okay.
Right. Now that's kind of a fancy fish to be making nuggets out of.
Yeah, it
but
is.
But my kids really love fish sticks. Right.
Right. Right. And it's, then what you're doing is they're not nuggets, they're sticks, but you're not even cutting them anyway. So you're essentially giving them one giant nugget.
Correct.
Okay.
And then they cut them themselves.
That's
now, if your kids are little or incompetent, you know, you can, you don't have to leave it big. You can cut it up yourself.
Right. And then it'll toss easier if you cut it up yourself in the flour, the egg wash, and the panko. Yes.
Yeah. But then you have more steps, right? And I don't like to touch raw meat. So, I want to do it as quickly
as possible.
It's so
true. You love to cook. Darla Cation loves to cook, owns thousands and thousands of gloves before the pandemic even happened.
Oh, I was the go-to when people needed gloves. They knew I had them. So here's the thing to think about. Now you've made different meal, you know, it's the same thing, right? So you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time, right? It's a simple thing. You learn to do it once, and now you can do it with other kinds of proteins, with other kinds of, you know, vegetarian proteins as well.
Okay.
So easy peasy, right?
Right. Yes.
But you know what? Here's the criticism you'll get. Well, now you had me buy these weird breadcrumbs, right? Well, what else am I going to use those for? Right?
Okay, sure.
So the boy the other day says, I would really love to have Swedish meatballs.
Okay.
To which I say, how do you even know about Swedish meatballs? And he says, and I am embarrassed, but I'll come clean on the Dork Forest. He says, remember that time in the Sky Club?
Oh,
the Delta Sky Club.
They had
Swedish meatballs.
Right, right.
So my go-to for a lot of recipes where I'm not maintaining a bookshelf of Swedish meatball recipes.
Okay.
I do subscribe to the New York Times recipe app. And they, of course, have many choices.
Of all the foods, I'm sure. What is the subscription? How much does that cost?
I think it's like
$50 a year, or
maybe something like that.
Okay,
right?
but it's a separate app from the New York Times.
Correct, and I use it a lot because it gives you a lot of good ideas, and it has a lot of, and it's really targeted to, you know, families cooking at home.
Okay.
And I know the Washington Post has a lot of recipes that way too. So
interesting.
So I went to the, but here's what I was reminded of when I went and looked up the Swedish meatball recipe. Meatballs, super easy to make. I make them all the time. I make little ones, big ones. And here's the cool thing about meatballs. They are putsy by any measure, right? But you can make 100 meatballs and throw them in the freezer.
Oh,
now right. I make them and I freeze them.
Yeah.
On sheets.
On cookie and then sheets.
And then I pull them off the sheets and put them in a Ziploc bag.
Okay.
So that you always have meatballs handy, right? So meatballs, so easy and so simple.
What kind of meat? Beef? Ground beef?
Beef, lamb, chicken, turkey.
Ground turkey. Right? I've seen it. So you get like a pound. How many meatballs are in a, I mean, are you making, are they the size of marbles or are they the size of half dollars?
Well, because I'm putsy again, right? I measure them. So I make 1 ounce meatballs. They're about the size of it. Maybe between a half dollar and a quarter.
So how do you, what do you mean? Do you have like a tiny ice cream scoop?
I have a kitchen scale. I like them all to be the same size.
Okay.
But again, people do not. Let me not lead you down a path of OCD. Right. So again, meatballs, super simple. And you don't have to have all the ingredients in the world. So now you have these breadcrumbs.
Right, right? That you used for the other thing. Yeah.
Right. Now you have like half a cup left. Right. What am I going to do with that? So you take the half a cup of breadcrumbs, 2 pounds of meat, chop up an onion, make it fine. Saute the onion. It makes it better and let it cool. Right?
Okay.
This is more of like a Sunday afternoon project. If it's, you know.
And the kids can help.
Or like a.
Yeah.
And the kids can help and it's super fun. And if you have gloves, it's not messy. and then again, with the seasoning, right? What do you want? Do you want an Italian meatball? Well, again, like those Penzi dry spice mixes,
mm-hmm.
right? Easy, simple.
Right. If you want to get fiddly, you can do it, but you don't have to. You can
just
buy.
Without question, but you don't have to. Yeah.
Right, right.
Because here's the thing. It's like a dry spice is perfect for this. And by the way, if you bought dried spices before the pandemic, they're old and need to be replaced. Right? You should replace your dry spices every year or two because they do get old and dry and gross.
Yeah. So. I'm not doing that, but I appreciate that you're probably right. I run through cumin and coriander a lot. But other than that,
so you use that.
Like paprika, I don't replace that. We have tarragon we go through pretty quick because Andy makes a chicken tarragon popover. But other than that, I'm just like, well, it's close enough.
Yeah.
Like if it's turmeric or whatever.
But if you get one of those fancy spice racks when you moved into your house in 1973,
and, right. and it's next yeah, you to might want to start over.
Spoon display.
Yeah.
Yeah, time to start over.
Right. So, and if you can't taste the spices, that's this what I would say right. that it might be that might be a better way to go. Like you used it and you were like, this was supposed to taste like something. And it doesn't. Right. Maybe I would say then for sure replace the spice.
Also very, very good point. So again, half a cup of breadcrumbs, two eggs.
Okay.
Saute an onion, throw it in there, some garlic if you care.
Right.
I do a lot.
Hot sauce. Hot sauce.
Hot sauce if you like a spicy. Here, yeah. think about this. What if you like an Asian style?
Yeah, fish sauce.
Right. A little fish sauce, a little sesame oil,
yeah.
a little soy sauce, right? If you don't know if it's going to taste good,
yeah.
go light on the seasoning and then fry up a little bit of it and taste it, right?
Oh, okay. And
so that you're it's not too late.
Do you add oil to the meatballs or just
no,
a little bit
because
it's usually fat, right?
Yeah. So you would do a toasted sesame oil because of the flavor, right?
Okay.
Not because of the fat.
Got
so,
it.
But something like that. And really simple, really easy. A little bit, maybe some ginger, maybe some lemongrass, right?
Right.
Those kinds of things. The Swedish meatballs called for nutmeg, all kinds of weird stuff. Turned out like, we had it because we're those people.
Right, right. Christmassy kind of? Was it a Christmas?
Yeah, yeah.
meatball?
Yeah. yeah. Like, and Phil told me that you can buy an already made meat mix at Ingebretson's on Lake Street. So,
okay.
But, you know, I wasn't going to do that. But I will now because I was, you know,
was
I
delicious.
Want to support Ingebretson's. It
right,
was delicious.
Right.
But again, super easy. And what can you use those meatballs for, right?
Yeah.
All kinds of things. Now, we had Swedish meatballs. We had with pasta. I made a cream sauce. The cream sauce is so easy, right? It's just make a roux. Add some chicken stock, some of those onions, and then let it thicken. It was great. Really, really easy. But let's say, I only made one batch, but I could have easily, it would have been just as easy to have made many more. And then you freeze them. Now, what can you do with them? You can put them in a soup. You
right.
have them ready for a pasta. You can have just like a meatball appetizers if you're
right.
having friends over. We served it with cranberry sauce.
Okay.
We didn't have lingonberries. So again, you know, simple using ingredients that you have in your house.
Right. And
right?
2 pounds of meatballs of 2 pounds of ground beef make like, I don't know, like 30 meatballs or
30 to 35 meatballs. Yeah.
Right. How many ounces are in a pound?
Things.
Oh, right. Yeah.
16, but you're adding bread and you're adding eggs and
right, you're adding the panko
onion.
And eggs and onion. So
yep.
if it's 32 ounces of meat, there's at least 32 meatballs in there if they're 1 ounce.
Yeah, you're
meatballs.
Probably talking like 40
yeah,
or so.
Closer to 40. That's yeah, and then if you so you're baking them on a cookie sheet, just sort of spread
I'm
out.
I'm just
obviously.
Freezing them.
Oh,
yeah,
you're
I'm
not
just
even
freezing
baking
them. On. No, because I want to use them for the purpose when I'm ready. Right.
Oh, okay. So they're just raw. They've been rolled. That's why the onions are cold.
So
they're just put on the thing. You make sure that they're solid frozen. Then you put them in a Ziploc bag and you can take them out 6 at a time or a dozen at a time or whatever.
Yep. As you need. Right. And again, then you have less of that crisis at 5 o'clock when you're trying to think, oh my gosh, what am I going to make for dinner?
Right.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Oh, that's right. I have meatballs. Right.
Yeah. I could.
Super, super easy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I make. I probably made this for you. Just regular chicken thighs.
Yeah.
Right.
Just baked.
So, you know, in the
chicken thighs.
Baked. Right. Mm-hmm. Easy. Right.
Yeah.
Put them out. Salt.
Salt, pepper.
That's it.
That's it.
No pepper.
Not even pepper.
I don't like pepper because pepper burns in the oven. Just salt.
Oh.
Bake them for 25 to 30 minutes. It's almost impossible to destroy a chicken thigh.
No, you would have to overcook it. That is the only way.
And by that, you'd have to bake it for over an hour. But think about this, that when you're doing that, So get one of those sheet pans, right? And so this has been a popular theme in cooking of doing sheet pan dinners, right?
Okay.
So we're a family of four. You throw 6 or 8 chicken thighs. You chop up some potatoes. You put some, you know, white potatoes and sweet potatoes, because I have a kid who doesn't eat orange things. And then you can just put like very high quality frozen broccoli.
Okay.
And bake it all together, right? So you want everything to bake at about the same temperature. So you're going to put the, you know, the those nice frozen broccoli stalks.
Yeah.
You're going to put those on frozen. You're going to cut the potatoes into like quarters so that they bake, right?
Okay, quick.
You could you could parboil them, but again, we want to make keep it simple.
Yeah.
And you're gonna make this all on a sheet pan. I put foil down because I like cleanup to be easy.
Yep.
But then you just put the sheet pan on the table for dinner.
Oh, okay.
Easy peasy, right?
So what's in this? It's just potatoes and broccoli?
Yep. You have a full meal on a sheet pan done in 30 minutes.
Okay.
Your broccoli is going to get a little crispy and caramelized.
Yeah. People
you know,
love
your,
that.
Everything's going to like soak up all the chicken fat from the baking. It's going to be good.
Wait, are you baking? Are you putting the chicken thighs on top of the
I just
potato?
Put them next to each other.
Oh, because it kind of reminds me of chicken bread. But if you put them on top, all the schmaltz would go down and cook it that way.
You can do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do, and that's good with anything. If you have leftover rice or,
you know, bread or anything.
So speaking of rice, mm-hmm. if you've been ordering takeout and you have leftover rice,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can freeze it.
Right.
So you, like Chinese takeout rice, just put it in a Ziploc bag, squish all the air out and freeze it. You can use that for fried rice. You can use that for chicken rice instead of bread. Just put that on the bottom of the pan and bake the chicken on top of it.
Yep.
So,
and yeah, that will be delicious. And sometimes Chinese restaurants, you could order extra rice for on purpose to do that.
Right.
Because it's really cheap. Yep. Yeah. Because they make so much rice and it's usually a buck for a pretty good pile of rice. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So the other thing I thought I would talk about is some of the, things that you can do that can save some steps.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So like I have an Instapot, and I'm sure people who during the pandemic bought all those dried beans, mm-hmm. right? Hopefully
sure.
bought an Instapot to go with it. So
right.
one of the things, although it's going to make me bitter, it's sometimes hard to find. When I make things in the Instapot, I always use frozen onions.
Frozen onions?
Yeah, you can just buy a bag of like chopped onions.
Really?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. I've never even seen
you
that.
Can,
but it makes sense that they would have it.
You
yeah.
haven't gone looking. So you can also sometimes find Cascadian Farms has mirepoix. So onion, celery, carrot.
Okay.
Frozen. Again, a bag. Just throw it in.
All together.
So again, if you're making soups or beans, or it's super easy, right? And now you're
right.
staring at those beans you bought, you know, in March of
2020.
When was it? 2019?
Yeah. It was 2020.
So long
but
ago.
You're like, but I bought dried beans because it was the end
now
times.
Now what do I do?
Yeah.
Right.
You have to soak them overnight with a stick of kombu. Anyway, but
no,
you don't.
No, no, no. So, but you don't, right? So, again, and you'll find in the frozen vegetables section all kinds of these seasoning things. So if you like a mixed pepper, which I do not, but people do.
Oh, the mixed bell pepper, right.
Yeah, you can find frozen peppers, right?
Right.
Again, throw them in with the beans, a little bit of stock or water. Easy, you know.
Right.
And then one of my favorites is homemade lentil soup, right?
Yeah.
Because it's quick and fast, and especially mm-hmm. in the Instapot. So, and
it's
very
almost done before you've said the sentence. Because lentils,
the table.
Yeah, it's. What? How do you do that? Because I've never made lentil soup in the Instapot.
Oh, so I have a lamb share, which I'm sure people don't have, but you know, I live in the Midwest, so
Oh, you bought part of an animal that was cut up.
Yeah, half a lamb.
Okay.
So, but you can do a vegetarian as well. So again, that frozen, those frozen onions, a pound of like lamb stew meat or like a shank or whatever, garlic, saute it, and then throw in the a cup or two of lentils, and then cover it with stock. Not too much, because one thing you notice in the Instapot is that it doesn't really evaporate, right?
And so oh, it doesn't evaporate.
Way too brothy.
Yeah. Because lentils usually soak it. Yeah, they usually soak it up on a regular pot.
So I just, I just do like just enough to, you know, maybe cover it by an inch or so.
Okay.
You can throw in some, you know, some lemon juice or, you know, like other seasoning, you know, bay leaves. If, you know, if you're out in California, you can cut some rosemary when you're out walking the dog. And boom, it's done, right? That's it. The stew meat cooks, the lentils cook.
I usually with my lentil soup, I usually do, I toast cumin and coriander and then grind it. And then I put, and it's just a teaspoon of each. And then I just do garlic and sometimes a bay leaf if I remember. And it's delicious.
So on some of the like more complicated things, I think you mentioned that I had made ramen.
Yeah, I wanna tell people that these are very simple meals that Darla has makes on the regular. But there was a time, and that time occasionally occurs regularly, when you like a fiddly recipe, you like it to take a while. And I remember this ramen soup where you made the noodles, you coddled an egg for a day and a half. There was some damn thing happening. But tell us about this ramen for my sake.
Well, be careful. I volunteered to do a pop-up dinner.
Right.
Well, I suggested to a friend of mine who was doing these pop-up dinners, seating two seatings, 25 people each.
Wow.
That I would love to be the guest chef. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay. And then he called me and said, would you like to do that? My kids were like, maybe Judah wasn't even born yet. They were really little.
Right.
And so I did a pop-up for 50 of homemade ramen.
Yeah.
And it was insane. It was so crazy. Because little did I know that, like, if you go to a ramen place, they're not making noodles. They're buying noodles from a ramen noodle factory somewhere. But I made 55 portions of noodles.
Yeah.
I made a homemade vegetarian and a homemade pork stock.
Right.
I made soft-boiled eggs. And here's what I learned, that you need to do that with old eggs. And it was funny because I had eggs from the co-op. And the night of the event, I had one of the waiters had to run to the neighborhood, like
a 7-Eleven or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And get me 2 dozen eggs.
Yeah.
I made like a salt cured salmon for an appetizer.
Wow.
And then we did a vegan coconut rice pudding. With tropical fruit for dessert. And
okay.
It was, these are words I've rarely uttered. I have bitten off more than I can chew. but it was a blast and we had such a good time.
And you lived everyone loved it, I bet.
Everyone loved it. We lived, we had a great time. So probably the most hilarious part of it was, so my friend Eli, who was doing this, they did this like at a college house on the campus of the University of Minnesota.
Okay.
So like I, of course, have a grown up adult lady affluent stove.
Yeah.
That when you turn it on, it heats to like 50,000 BTUs.
Right. Almost immediately. Yeah.
Eli and his friends had like a stove from the Goodwill.
Right. Rental property stove.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So keeping the water boiling to serve the pasta, that was, or the ramen, that was its own special. But I learned a lot and it was super fun because it was right about the time that Momofuku was so popular.
Right.
And so like I made the roast pork out of that recipe, which by the way is so easy. I just did that over the weekend. Just roasted a pork shoulder at like, you just put it in the oven in the morning at 225, 250 degrees. And at night when you come in, you have, you know, falling off the bone pork.
Pork. Yeah. Yeah. It's gotta be five or 8 hours or something. But what spices are you doing for ramen? I mean, I have several questions. One is, you said you made a vegetarian broth, a vegetarian stock. Cause I know that a lot of times with the ramen stock, they cook the bone for like 18 hours for the pork.
Yeah.
How do you simulate that with a vegetarian? How do you get that richness in a vegetarian?
Well, I just hope that vegetarians were less judgy.
Interesting. Yeah. And they are, they are. They're used to.
Yeah. So you don't really get that same like tonkatsu, like porky fat, full body fat.
That but collagen, I made a mushroom, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I made a mushroom stock and it was delicious.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say of the 50 guests, there were probably 12, and we knew in advance who was going to be vegetarian.
Right.
So, with a
vegetarian stock, are you putting the mushrooms in the stock in addition to putting it in the soup?
Yeah. So I actually made trumpet mushroom chips instead of the, you know, so like in a, if you went to have like a pork ramen, right? There would be pork, you know, like pulled pork in the in the ramen, right?
Sliced.
So instead of that for the vegetarians, I actually roasted, and they come out almost dried trumpet mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
That with just a little bit of olive oil and salt, and that provided like the meaty texture that we were looking for to substitute for the pork.
Yeah.
And then everything else could be the same, right? All the other like veg.
Right. Cause it wasn't vegan. It was just vegetarian. And,
Right. So although there were some vegans as well, but I did say when I agreed to do it, no gluten-free.
Okay.
You couldn't really do that as a gluten-free option.
The only thing in that menu that
would have put off a vegan was the soft boiled egg.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that was fine. So you just didn't have an egg.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because the people who sat with people who had the mushroom ramen, really, all those people really wanted the mushroom chips.
Right.
Right. Like I very easily could have served that as like an appetizer.
Or just as something to put on top. Because sometimes and it's usually just scallions, isn't it? Where you get a side thing to put on top.
I used also some sesame rice crackers.
Okay. Nice.
That to give it some texture. I think the only objection I had to that meat, that whole meal, was that it was soft, right? And so, you know, when you want to have, like when I think of planning a menu,
mm-hmm.
right, I want to have color, I want to have flavor, and I want to have texture.
Yeah.
Right.
And that
makes
sense.
That was a meal that was really, I felt like a little bit too much on the soft side of things.
Right. There wasn't anything crunchy. And how big are trumpet mushrooms? Are
they big?
Like,
they're
big,
like
the shiitake caps or something, or?
No, they're more like a full-size trumpet mushroom is like maybe 3.5 to 4 inches. They're big, thick, meaty mushrooms.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're wide, right? And you just cut them in. Yeah.
So okay.
They're really good. And when you dry them, or you know, like sort of dry roast them,
mm-hmm.
like your entire house will smell like a mushroom farm. I mean, it's kind of
outstanding.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But it gives you a lot of that earthy, you know, that same rich earthiness that
the
you
meat.
Get,
yeah.
You know,
that makes sense.
For. I think another putsy thing that I've been making a lot of lately is larb.
Larb? Lamb.
Thai dish.
It's a kibble, right?
No. Well, yeah, it's like a salad that you get in Thai restaurants.
Okay.
And so it's finely chopped chicken or beef. If you go to an authentic Thai restaurant, it's usually beef and then like some beef tendon, which mm-hmm. I happen to like, but mostly I've been doing it with chicken. But
right.
So finely chopped chicken with like all kinds of herbs, Thai basil, cilantro, kaffir lime, some ginger, lime juice.
Is it served cold?
It's served room temperature.
Oh, weird.
Usually with cabbage. Next time you go for Thai food, you should have it.
Yeah, I think delicious. They have it at the Thai place we've been to. I've seen it on the menu. I don't think that I've had it much.
And then it has, and it's interesting. This is, this is the reason I love it, is that it has toasted rice powder in it, which is kind of hard to find. I did find it on the Amazon.
Okay.
Not in the Amazon. And you sprinkle that on and it gives it like a crunchy overtone to it as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is super interesting.
That is interesting. That is, wow. What, so if you're making that, so obviously you cook this finely chopped meat and then then you cool it to room temperature and then you toss it with all those vegetables and stuff.
Yeah. So then you just, and there is, the Times has a good recipe for it, but I would say triple the herbs that they call for.
Oh, okay.
In terms of quantity.
Because of the flavors
It just is so bright and more is better in this case, right?
Right, right. So the meat is fine. You could stay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But like the herbs and the way the herbs interact, it just is so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a big hit with a bunch of, friends who've come for dinner.
Right.
And the kids like it too, because it's animal protein that doesn't look like the original.
Meat, right. So they don't need
to eat that as well.
They like that better.
It is a really good dish with mock duck.
Okay.
So,
and you can make it with mock duck. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As well, if you, if you're that way.
That's right. It is not called mock duck on the West Coast. It is called seitan.
Okay.
And I think it might even be called a third name that I can't remember the name of, but it's one of the it's a soy protein, right?
It's wheat gluten, actually, I think, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. That actually sounds more right than whatever.
Yeah.
And what would you say? Now we got about 10 minutes left here. What would you say is your favorite fiddly dish that you like to make now, besides that larb?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one of those air fryers?
I had one and I gave it away.
Oh, because you
didn't use it? That was the dumbest thing ever. Yeah.
I just got one for Christmas. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
So, yeah. I like to make sarma, which is pupsi, right?
Yep. Yep.
It's just time consuming. It's not difficult, right? You just need to.
Yeah, a lot of Armenian food.
It's a good thing to do with the kids.
Yeah, Armenian food is almost entirely just time consuming. Sort of like pasta, it is not hard to make it. It is just, it takes a long time to make it. And
yeah.
So.
I think those kinds of things, like I love to make homemade pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's something I don't, I don't do enough, or I wish I spent more time doing that.
Okay.
And I used to a lot when Noah was little, like she actually didn't know that pasta came from a box.
Okay.
Because I made so much of it. I do love to make bread, and I do resent the new to bread baking, but not sourdough. Like I don't want a living thing on like molding on my counter.
Oh, right. And the commitment to that is real, to try to have to keep it alive.
Yes. Also, there's a lot of really lousy sourdough breads out there. They're dumb and heavy and gross.
Okay. So what's your favorite? What do you like to make bread wise?
I make a lot of dinner rolls for Shabbat. So
is it just
like
biscuits or?
I make a lot of biscuits too. Yeah. No, a dinner roll is more like a milk bread. So it's warm milk, flour, yeast, salt. And usually a little bit of oil or a butter.
Okay.
Can go in it. And it's just like a Parker roll, like a soft, fluffy roll.
Okay.
Like kids love that.
Yeah.
And that's super popular. Sometimes they just make regular bread dough and turn it into dinner rolls. Right.
Oh, okay.
I think I did that the last difference? Time you guys were over.
Yeah. What's the difference? What's regular bread dough? It doesn't have.
It's just flour, water, yeast, and salt.
Okay. And the bread dough had oil in it, I think.
The Parker and rolls milk. Have milk and like butter in it.
Okay. So, there we go. Yeah.
I will say, and I believe this is a representative trauma of our childhood. I do make breakfast. I make breakfast every day for the kids.
Okay.
But like healthy and like fun breakfast. Like this morning they had crepes.
Oh. Are crepes, do you have a crepe pan or do you just do it in the skillet?
I have a Lodge, the company that makes cast iron skillets.
Yeah.
Makes a really good steel skillet, like a tempered steel skillet.
Yeah.
And I just make them in that. And they're super easy. It's and it's a really even, it's an easy recipe. It's a cup of flour, a cup of milk, a cup of eggs.
A cup of eggs?
So one of the things is,
how many eggs is that? It can be five?
Like three.
Okay.
No, like three eggs. Yeah. And so one of the reasons is like it's an actual protein breakfast.
Okay.
Right? Because you get a lot of eggs in them.
Yeah.
And, and they're simple and easy and they cook up quickly and I have a little spatula to flip them and
And then do you make them sweet or savory?
They like them with Nutella. Mm-hmm. For myself, I prefer them with cheese.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so like stuff like that, which I sort of feel like, I mean, I could see at by the end of the pandemic, how people are like, I'm sick of cooking three meals a day for my family.
Right.
Right. Like my kids were super happy to have school lunch for like the first 2 weeks of going back to school. And
sure.
Then they were like, no, we'll just have home lunch again. So I'm backpacking lunches every day. So
yeah. So what do you put in the, is it peanut butter and jelly with an apple that they have had that's been sitting on that sandwich for 5 days?
Oh yeah, sure. No. Gina does take a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes they, and again, like, you know, don't make your life miserable, right?
Yeah.
Like you can get an economical bean and cheese burrito, you know, at Whole Foods or, you know, Ralph's or wherever you shop.
Yeah.
And I will heat it up in the morning, wrap it in foil and put it in Noah's lunch. Right.
Okay.
So it won't be piping.
Right. It won't be piping hot by lunch, but it'll be, it'll be at least be warm. Like at least
room temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah. She takes leftovers almost every day if we have them. So,
yeah.
You know, we do a lot of like a cauliflower or chicken curry.
Okay.
Like a butter chicken with the jarred sauce from Target, right?
Trader Joe's, like, somewhere. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. That sauce with a head of cauliflower. Mm-hmm. And if you want to put a protein in it, great. But if you don't, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And you have dinner on the table and you've already boiled rice. So,
right.
Easy peasy.
Right. And do you ever eat peas? Because you've said easy peasy three times. What do you think about the pea?
I don't like peas myself, but the kids do enjoy a tuna noodle.
No, really?
Peas.
casserole.
I know. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. They never had a terrible Nancy Cation special with crunchy potato chips on top that was foul from start to stem to stern.
They have not. They have not.
And I have tried to explain to people that Nancy was like, I'm making breakfast every morning, but it's and 2 days were egg days and 2 days were pancake days. But pancake days, when they didn't have fruit in them, the pancakes were too dry. And when they did have fruit in them, they weren't done. So I didn't until I went post college. I think all through college, I avoided pancakes because I thought they were gross. And then I met people who knew how to make pancakes. And now I don't know. Like pancakes. Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, like bacon. I think the only bacon we ate growing up were those fake vegan bacon bits.
That she would shake on things.
Yeah.
She never and made bacon, I don't think.
Scrambled
right?
eggs. No, I don't ever remember eating really any pork.
No, she used to burn pork chops. Remember, she used to burn they were like shoe leather. Yeah. It was a bad, she didn't.
A blessed memory, mind you. This was not her skill set.
It was not her skill set. And she was like, she had to feed a lot of people for a couple of years. And she was like, let's just get this out there. And did the best she could while also juggling 1,000 other tasks. So,
So here's the other thing I will add. And a friend of mine stopped by this morning to my little home office here. Mm-hmm. And reminded me that it was at my suggestion that they signed up for HelloFresh.
Oh, yeah.
And her two kids are responsible for making HelloFresh twice a week.
Oh, when the HelloFresh comes.
Yes. And that's another thing that I think if people can afford it is a great introduction.
Well, let me tell you something about Green Chef and HelloFresh are owned by the same people now. And if you go to Green Chef and use code JackieLaurie130, you will get $130 off, which means that it's super expensive because $130 off means that it must cost $200 or whatever.
Yeah.
But what I do like about Green Chef is that it's usually proteins that I wouldn't usually buy, like fish. And it's sauces and stuff, and it's pretty eco-friendly. Initially, they packed them in all these adorable little plastic things that were just heartbreaking to throw out. And now everything is in sort of a baggie. Is it a tiny zip bag, which is good.
Well, and the thing about it is there's very little waste because the portions are appropriate. Mm-hmm. And if you have a family, you know, I'm lucky that I have people who will eat leftovers.
Yeah.
But very little goes to waste. And I think that we waste so much food in our country. If you can avoid doing that, that helps make up some of the cost as well. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like anytime you're not, and I know that with inflation and food costs going up, it's really been challenging for people. But anytime you eat at home is always less expensive than eating out.
Right. Right. Even if you've done a Green Chef thing. Yeah, for sure.
Correct. So that, you know, that's another thing to keep in mind, that learning to cook is a really good way to be a little bit more economical in your home.
And the kids it's a good chore for them and it's a good skill for them to learn. So all of that is pretty great.
People should be able to feed themselves.
You know, what's weird is I think we started at 7. I think we might have another 5 minutes, but we could also wrap it up because it's fine. But what else would you, do you shop every couple of days? Because I think that Nancy shopped once a week because it was cheaper.
Yeah, I do. And I'm kind of noodling on a resolution to figure that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
To be more planful and more frugal about it, because it does seem both like harder on the environment. Like, one thing is I'm never out and about in the world anymore.
Right.
So I'm better than I used to be because I'm not like dropping by the co-op on the way home from work.
Right.
Because I'm 15 feet from my kitchen here at work.
Right. You're right. Exactly. Now you're like, I'm sure there's something I can defrost. Yeah.
Exactly.
If not lamb. I'm sure there's plenty of lamb.
And fish, because I got the fish there too.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, tonight we're having, people will find this hilarious. Bon Appetit had a halibut with a Asian style caramel sauce.
Okay.
And I'm going to make that tonight, but the boy is not going to eat that.
Yeah.
So I have a box of fish sticks as well. So I'll make the fish sticks for him.
Wow. So
a little bit of pandering. A
little bit of pandering. Occasional pandering, as long as it's done with love. You know, it's all good. And I am going to go over to our brother Russ's for dinner tonight. And I assume it'll be chicken and pilaf.
There you go.
But maybe
nothing
it will
wrong
not.
With that.
Nothing wrong with that. I love chicken and pilaf. It's one of my very faves. Darla Cation is at Bossy Cation on Twitter. So if you want to ask anything about it, you can go and find her there. And other things are probably on her pinned tweet that it's a mystery. Who is she? Who does she work for? What happens? You'll find out.
I don't know.
It's
Google.
Google, it's
tell you everything
it's your friend.
You need to know.
It certainly will. But thank you so much for doing this. It was a request, and I was like, oh, attainable goal, I bet. So thank you so much for talking about some easy stuff to make, some fiddly stuff to make, and some good advice. Thanks for doing the show.
Excellent. Thank you for having me. Next time, we'll talk anchovies.
Ooh, Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?